I'm Harry Balzac, your tour guide in the new studio. Next to me is someone we call Lerpak, because she spreads so easily. It's Wilma Fingerdoo.
Bloody toilet wall graffiti. I wish I hadn't written it now. My phone hasn't stopped ringing.
I'm sorry. I was at a loose end.
Yeah, well, I don't want to see your loose end. Way over on the far side of the room is someone who we call Smellin' of Troy, because their guff can repel 1,000 ships from halfway across the Aegean. It's Mia Harkness.
And within easy reach of me is a wonderful woman who we all love dearly and hold in high esteem. And not just because she's threatened me with a frying pan.
Just as well for you, Order Officer. On my other side is a man that has apparently been hiding in the back of that cupboard since I told him what I'd do to him if I caught him chatting to that girl from Wonders ever again. It's my so-called husband, Lou Snuckers.
Oh. Hello, dear. I did miss you, you know. I just wish for once you'd miss me with that backhand. I am grateful, though, that I don't have Harry's nickname, which has been banned under the Geneva Convention. While I get this ever-so-fetching lump on the side of my head bandaged by Nurse Wyeth, can we please move rapidly on to the headlines?
Why are pirate bases great? Because they are.
A salutary tale to those who take missions with abandon.
Cleaning up the streets. Be careful where you park.
It's Nocti who's made long trip for nothing this week.
Someone check that the rat signal is still working, please.
Into every life, a little kin rain must fall.
Atrus 5060 dusts off his weapon.
I'm back, but has anything changed in Hutton Space while I've been away?
From the heart of the bubble to the furthest reaches of the galaxy, news of community events.
Spurred on, no doubt, by Captain Flint, the buccaneer that inexplicably named himself after Long John Silver's parrot, Captain Beard, who sometimes goes by the alias of Arth, is building himself a full, proper pirate lair from the ship's wheel that gives him the comforting illusion that he's actually steering the ship in the direction that he wants, to the poster from his exercise class, Pilates of the Caribbean. No expense or trope has been spared. From the comfort of his couch, where he can stroke his pure white parrot, which has been taught to purr whilst disconcertingly asking for a cracker, he can watch the Mermaid Channel and dream of being tossed on the wild seas. Goldfish with fins glued to their backs and dentures wedged uncomfortably in their dainty little mouths swim uncomfortably below the transparent glass floor. Chests full of treasure, apparently all made at Song Military Enterprise, so stamped Made in China's, hang untidily in piles around the room. And a cutlass is placed carefully out of reach after the captain cut his finger trying to use it to open a letter. A ship in a bottle, bearing the mysterious label Panther Clipper, sits above an extensive rum collection. A wardrobe in the corner contains a shelf for wooden legs. It has a cute electric rotating gadget to make it easier to pick what colour eye patch he's going to wear today. And there's a drawer that, when opened, reveals a small pile of stick-on tattoos in a range of fetching colours. The fridge is adorned with magnets stolen from low-gravity stations, so somewhere there's a commander floating helplessly around, wondering why they didn't use suction or Velcro. The fridge decoration includes a piece of paper under a magnet, with a picture of a sailing ship drawn in crayon in a naive style, dominated by a stick figure, with what one can only hope is his sword in his hand. And the words, Dastardly Dawn, next to a heart that presumably came from a bull elephant given its size, all above the artist's signature. Arf, age 25. Another magnet holds a calendar with September the 19th circled. And as there always is on a fridge, there are magnetic letters used to spell out a word. But he's obviously run short of letter R's, because there are several upside-down letter J's and a couple of letter I's at right angles in the word. We think that Captain Beard has earned his little bit of pirate escapism, but he's going to be in real trouble if Alex Zuno finds out about this.
Flossie's CG followers have been feeling a little abandoned recently. Not by the CG queen herself, heaven forfend, but because of a little-known flounce clause in their mission specifications. The galaxy's mission givers have been working together to try and stop the mission dilettantes, people doing the equivalent of making a booking at half a dozen restaurants, then cancelling the other five when you sit down to eat. If you take a mission, you need to see it through, is the message that they're trying to get across. None of that, I'll take the passenger where they want to go just as long as they aren't too awkward, or if I'd realised that Hutton Orbital was so far away, I'd never have taken that delivery mission. Oh no, not anymore. The so-called flounce clause, cleverly written in white ink on white paper to make it harder to read, aims to make the consequence of abandoning a mission more serious by forcing you to abandon all of your missions, including community goals. Yes, you might have been spending days shooting people or gathering materials or schlepping passengers across the galaxy to earn yourself a decal. That could be pornographic in a certain light, or a Guardian performance booster, ditto, or just a stack of credits too high to see over. And that's great. But if you decide to take a side quest, mission, then realise you won't be able to complete it because your mam's called you in for tea. Or 0.14 light years is just so far. Or you forgot that you've only got 2 tons of cargo space spare, all of which are, of course, legitimate reasons for curtailing this minor mission, and hit the abandon button. Then be prepared for all the lights in your cockpit to flash, including those pretty festive ones you got strung up obscuring part of your view that you just couldn't be bothered to take down. After all, it'll soon be Christmas again, won't it? All flashing at a rate that really should come with a warning for photosensitive pilots, and accompanied by a recording of the apology officer saying, "Awooga." Yes, just like that. And your screen carries the message, "You really shouldn't have done that," in a really rather threatening font, and written in a colour that reminds you of a cross between several bodily fluids that you don't like to look at, even from a safe distance. Then it all goes deathly quiet, and the only sound is that of your cargo door opening, and all your cargo being ejected, where it immediately explodes. And all of the dashboard displays of progress you've made towards the community goals sink slowly but inexorably down to zero. Now, that all seems pretty low in the fairness scale, and we're pleased to pass on the news that after some deliberation and a stack of complaints that ironically is taller than the apology officer, the Pilots Federation have decided to take pity on those without the staying power to complete missions, and will be allowing you to cross out the flounce clause when they issue special redacting pens with what they're calling Update 7. Until then, be careful if a character standing in a doorway offers you a reward for helping them retrieve a worthless trifle from the back of a cave on the other side of the galaxy. Not everything you rub in this life will turn out to be a magic lamp.
The authorities have been getting tougher on crime, and the latest misdemeanour to have a harsher penalty is illegal parking. If you leave your SRV parked in the wrong place in a settlement, the chances are that when you return, you won't find a little plastic bag under the wipers with a note from one of those patrols that just love to scan you 5 times on the same street and whisper, "Halt, in a tiny voice in the hopes that you won't hear them and that they've got an excuse to use a class 5 genital compensator to blast you. Nope, you won't find something on the windscreen. You're more likely to find your windscreen on various buildings and crates close to where you'd parked, along with bits of engine, items from your glove box, and just one spinning wheel, spinning for lonely, as is the convention. This is the advice that Commander Wingnut 757 would have appreciated the other day when he left his SRV in what he thought was a safe street in what looked like a deserted settlement. He was just minding his own business, quietly looting, being a picker-up of unconsidered trifles, when there was the faintest of electronic hums, a brief zap, followed by an all-too-brief lighting up of the sky as his SRV added to the entropy of the universe by rearranging its molecules over half the base. Luckily, Wingnut was inside the building so he didn't get instant sunburn, and it does mean that he didn't actually see the incident. But our money is on the new traffic warden scavengers that have become the bane of so many. Well, we can't call them pilots if they're on foot. Let's just say, if they're in the Empire, they're called Imperial Walkers. The flying wardens, which can easily be distinguished by the yellow band around the top and the look of inner sadism, have been known to hide around the corner just waiting for walkers to get out of sight before blowing up the transport. They do have the choice of calling for transport to take your SRV to the nearest compound, but they reckon that blowing them up involves much less paperwork. Thanks to Apex Taxis, Wingnut was able to fly back to his ship with no damage to anything but his self-confidence and his bank balance. But let this be a lesson to those of you who wish to leave your SRVs with one wheel in the curb or blocking the driveway out of the landing pad, that it always helps to keep a spare power cord in your pocket, ready to keep the power on, just in case the scavengers are pleased to see you.
There used to be a game that was played back on ancient Earth amongst excitable people who had one of the old vehicles known as cars. You'd offer someone a lift, and just as they were about to open the door, you'd move the car forward a few feet and wait for your future passenger to catch up, at which point you'd move again. This would continue until either the driver would consider that they'd done it enough, or the person on foot would shout, "For God's sake, Harry, it's not funny!" What's that got to do with the state of the galaxy in 3307? Well, Eros Maedlung appears to be trying to play the same game, but on a much, much bigger scale. He's been inviting people aboard his fleet carrier. You'll remember we included his last voyage, the Mega Gin Ramble, in Norma's coverage of community events, but this trip's so disorganised that we couldn't be bothered, frankly. It's named the FDM Isfahan, and it's cheekily disappearing before they turn up. Commander Ramforth, and after a record for him, 445 jumps, Major General Noctivagus, were amongst those who turned up only to find that the fleet carrier had, to coin a phrase, buggered off, and left them feeling slightly bemused in that sort of, "I'm sure this is where he said to meet him. I've got it written down on a piece of paper somewhere. Don't tell me I wrote it down wrongly," way. It turned out that Commander Maedlung's clock had gotten a little slow. Something about too much maple syrup with breakfast clogging the mechanism or some such nonsense. And so he hadn't realised that he'd left people 3,500 light years behind. We don't have an update yet on what's happening now, but we did see Nocti 3D printing a large sarcophagus and asking Eros if he was interested in getting into an Iron Maiden.
Incoming encrypted transmission. Decrypting. Decryption complete.
Stand by for a message from Haxcom Actual.
Sir, this just came in.
Yeah, it looks like Salvation is either lucky or not the nut job Aegis wants us to believe. Riley, fire up the transmitter. We gotta get this info over to Studio 5.
All right, sir. Yeah, turn it on now. Yeah, okay. I didn't already. Hang on. All right, we'll be live in 3, 2, 1, click.
Okay, Haxwing. Looks like Salvation was right, and the Kornsar system was attacked today. Both Chadwick Port and Edo Market are on fire. Oddly, there are no AX conflict zones so far. It's possible Tharg has switched tactics and is implementing more hit-and-run raids instead of sustained engagements. There are goids about non-human signal sources, though. Engage with them and let Tharg know we aren't going to take this lying down. Threats 3 and 4 will have groups of scouts. Threats 5 and higher will have interceptors, scouts, or a mix of both. We also need rescue pilots to help evacuate Chadwick Port and Edo Market. Pick up refugees from the passenger lounge and ferry them to the nearby rescue ships. Remember, the otter docking will be disabled, and the landings can get tricky with debris and explosions. It's also going to get hot in there, so heat sinks are very helpful. So let's get out there, show Tharg we're still ready for him, and get those civilians to safety. Keep your eyes on the signal sources, and always be ready to defend the Riley, did you say click?
Hexcom message complete. Defend the mug.
Encrypted transmission complete.
We've got a contender for Commander Diluvian's crown. Trying to be the person who manages to fly the farthest out into the black and return, but this time without the fuel rats. At least, that's the plan. Commander Enchantman is planning to take a fleet of ships to Ishum's Reach, then set off into the black and go as far as possible and then jump back. And he's doing this in a Type 9, Lacon's long-distance space cow. He's got a little help along the way with fleet carrier assist, his main ship, the Endurance Border, plus three fuel carriers piloted by his very own clones, named Larry, Mo, and Curly. It's not clear if those are the names of the ships, or the pilots, or both. We'll all arrive in Ishum's Reach, at which point Commander Enchantman will set off, then use his holopresence and his clones to fly the fuel ships out to the necessary waypoints. We're hoping that he's read all of the Alex Zuno's useful data at iniv.space/harmony, or else he might need an extra jerry can or two. His lift, the fleet carrier Demunk Memorial, owned by Commander Crotch Roach, has set off and should arrive at Ishum's Reach sometime in October, at which point Enchantman will no doubt wave a cheery farewell before blasting off into the unknown, before returning moments later to pick up the directions which he left on the table. We'll let you know of any interesting developments.
Scouts have reported sightings of that most elusive of creatures, the lesser spotted Kinrain, or to give it its correct name, Basicus Fantasticus, as it appears that this splendid animal can be found finally leaving its habitat and testing its wings after recovering from injury. After spending many months in his own cave, trapped by his own faulty wiring and the illnesses of others, this much-loved inspiration to us all made it to another cave, Nick Cave, as the location is known, where over the course of several hours, the mating calls of various Antipodean creatures mingled with the throaty rasp of Basicus and the Alleybird until they were both transformed. They were both hoarse. Sorry, I'll get my coat.
Good evening, truckers. Atus 5060 here, reporting with the latest on the Thargoids. I am back finally after a long holiday looking at space pumpkins in the far-flung corners of the galaxy. It would seem that those pesky Thargoids are back with this new bloke, Salvatore. No, wait, it's Saliva. No, that's not right either. Salvation, that's his name. Or her name, or its name. We can't be gender exclusive here. It is 3307 after all. Anywho, Thargoids. Yes, you heard right. They're back indeed, with Salvation giving a warning the other day that they could strike in the Kornsar system, which of course the superpowers ignored, and lo and behold, Kornsar was attacked. It is, of course, a matter of urgency to rescue civilians and repel the bug's attack on the station. So time to dust off your rescue and act ships, truckers. And we all know what happens next after we fend off the Thargoids, which is to repair the damage with our trucker brethren in Operation Ida. Or is that Ida?
Right. This again. Now, let me see. How's that wanker change things? Colour-coded? Really? Who colour-codes the BGS? Harry, can you pass me that shocking pink stack over there, please? Okay, that's influence. Norma, would you mind passing me that lovely green pile that almost matches your beautiful eyes? Preferably with your panning hand, so it's occupied. Thank you. So that's the States, right? Wilma, the purple, if you could. Really? Happiness? Who records happiness on purple paper? Especially when it's always going to be 25 sheets with the word happy on them. Norm, could you nudge the apology officer and ask for that dirty brown crumpled mess? No, not Rudolph. The papers. Ah, of course. The Colonia summary. Should have guessed. Right, just collate these and see what we get. Well, the BGS hasn't got much more exciting, has it? Only 6 systems outside the safe zone, and nowhere has a faction that's even close to troubling us. Barnard Star could do with a bit of a push. It's in investment and civil liberty, so there's profit to be made, and if you like annoying insurgents, you'll find that our good friends, the 10th Fleet, are in an election. So if you could spread a little Barnard Star Alliance love around, that would be quite delightful. Apart from that, the only real news is that we're in expansion from LHS 340. I told Drew Peacock that this would happen if he went on holiday, but he wouldn't listen, so you're all free to visit for the next 4 days till he gets back. Data, missions, whatever you like. Teach the ugly old fart a lesson. Once we hit the weekend and know where we've expanded to, please get back to normal and knock those high systems back under 60%, and it'll all be tickety-boo for when Juan returns. Now, excuse me while I put these surgical gloves on. I'm not touching that with my bare hands. Right, Colonia. It says... let me get my hanky translator glasses on. Everywhere. Work everywhere. It's all turning to mush and we need to work all of our systems. But mainly Tyr, which is full of elections that aren't us, so we're jealous. Please, get us an election in Tyr, like in the good old days. Good, that's it. I'll just pop this in the radiation-proof incinerator and hand you over to Norma while I get a shower. Ugh.
And now for news of community-led events. As usual, links will be posted in Twitch chat and also in the description of the YouTube upload. The passengers on the fleet carrier Consu must really like being away from home as it continues the extensive trip to all 124 waypoints of the Cannon Challenge, and it's still going to be a long time before the next leap is the leap home. Commander Mephisto, who by now must be sporting a full beard, dictated this status update.
The Comfy Cannon cruise covered only Waypoint 73 with its Ceruleum Chalice pod since the last report. As Consu ran low on tritium again, some time was spent surveying for overlapping hotspots. In the end, Commander G-Man 14 found 2 barely overlapping ones, but also on Galweb a nice mining spot near Beagle Point for later. On Tuesday the 14th of September, Hutton mugs were filled with rare alcohol of choice. All are available on Consu. To celebrate the 6 months anniversary of the expedition, merry toasting between passengers ensued. The cruise has already covered more than 318,000 light-years in over 700 jumps, with around 227,000 light-years and 500 jumps left. Consu is currently en route to Waypoint 74, after that visiting Beagle Point and Oivasi, SG-Y-D0-, the farthest system from Sal reachable by fleet carrier, before changing heading to explore the northeastern quadrant of the Milky Way.
Commander Analog Kid brings us news from the Wild Wild West expedition, who are trying to find just how black it is out there in the vast reaches of space, has sent this message of hope.
Venturing deeper into the black, we explore above and below the galactic plane, making deeper inroads into the west. Civilization is within arm's reach behind us, and whilst we can still hear its distant clamour, we press on, fearless but inquisitive, into the unknown. We embrace the challenge of the West.
Now, we promise not to repeat this every week until the end of December, but just a quick reminder of the Canon Research Speed Scanning Challenge to scan the 9 different life forms on Tucane Sector AF-A D71-4 as fast as possible, with Canon goodies as prizes. The competition closes at midnight on the 31st of December. Details and the all-important rules are on the Canon website, canon.science. Expedition All the Clouds in the Sky departed from Kefuragu on Tuesday, but it's not too late to catch up. Commander Deluvrin, for those of you who are watching the recording and have skipped straight to this point just to hear, you can hear that your names, I'll recap. He's the heroic pilot that didn't let being stranded for 3 months out in the black face him. He just sat quietly, and that was when the fuel rats mounted their furthest and biggest rescue ever. Sends us this message. The primary objective is to visit all the galaxy's known nebulae and maybe even discover some new ones. We will also visit all the galaxy's extremes and other POIs on the way. The expedition's first major waypoint is Amundsen's star, from where we'll start to zigzag across the galaxy. It will be a very long journey, and you may decide to leave us and rejoin later to attend to your own matters in the meanwhile. No strings attached. Expedition Command Vessel, Drake Class LHL-31Z Zodiac, is equipped with all the necessary services, including shipyard, so you can bring your own fleet with you. It is not compulsory, but would be absolutely awesome if you could bring your own mining vessel and contribute some tritium every now and then. The adventure is not exclusive to PC commanders, although this is our native platform. You can still use our command vessel as your base of operations. However, if there's any emergency on the way, we won't be able to help other platforms. Most expedition activities will be carried out based on Odyssey, but in an emergency we can always switch back to Horizons. We fly mostly in Commander Deluvian-Ray's crew's private group to create a safe PVE environment. Send a request if you want to participate in group activities. You can stay in touch with us using our comms on Discord, hitch a ride and enjoy the beauty of our galaxy with us. Join us now or join us later, whenever our paths cross. We've had notification that LHL-31Z Zodiac arrived at Waypoint 1 via Gravitatis a few hours ago, and they're going to first to everyone's favourite 45G world, KOI 17011. Then the crystalline sights and onwards to Amundsen's star. Lastly this week, another new expedition, and it's another one that's going to take all corners of the galaxy. Yes, we know the galaxy isn't square, for goodness sake. It's just an expression. Get over it. And Commander Infernal Moose wants to tell you what to expect.
The Great Galactic Circumnavigation Infernal Expedition is a carrier-based expedition which will visit the eastern, northern and western galactic extremes, as well as many other spectacular sites along the way. The carrier has all services installed, so commanders can bring as many ships and modules as they like, and even reconfigure and engineer their ships along the way. The carrier will travel at about 5 to 10 kilolight years every day, with the exception of the particularly scenic locations and the galactic extremes where we will stay longer. In addition to the camaraderie of the expedition crew sharing stories and pictures, we will also hold events such as SRV and ship races along the way. The beauty of these types of expedition is that commanders don't need to worry about constantly jumping to keep pace with the expedition if they don't want to. If you're docked in the carrier, you will be carried with the carrier to all expedition stops. Want to spend more time in a particular location taking pictures or miss your ride? Just self-destruct to respawn in the carrier. The expedition will stretch over almost 220,000 light years and 30 stops as we traverse the galaxy over the course of about a month. To avoid the need for any tritium mining, we will be refueled by two support carriers along the way. Commanders from all platforms are welcome. Fleet carriers are cross-platform and persistent across Horizons and Odyssey, so all commanders, as we just said, are welcome to join us. The expedition is also listed on ADSM. D-Scan will soon be over. We'll depart from Gebel, G-E-B-E-L, on Friday, 17th of September at 2000 UTC. Hope you can join us.
And that's this week's summary of community-led events. If you want yours to be featured, just email itookpart@huddenorbital.com and we'll get in touch.
And that was the news. Stay tuned for brand new Galnet News Digest, Flossie's extensive roundup of the CG News, and the Hutton Unlikely Sports Report. But first...